she said to him, "Stand up and go. Your faith has saved you." The Gospel of the Lord.
Suffering. smallest of people, those who are forgotten by society, those who are isolated, those who are hurting. That's who God came to redeem. And that's all of us. That's all of us. We have that spiritual leprosy. That's what happens with original sin. How we are separated from God because of original sin, which we inherited from our first parents. Because of their actions, we now, when we are born, we are created, we have this stain on our hearts. But baptism washes it all away. God has done something incredible for us in baptism. And so, to shed some more light on that, I want to go through these two readings. From the beginning with the first one, and how it prefigures and foreshadows baptism. And so we have this interesting character, Naaman, in the book of 2 Kings, who is a foreigner to the Jewish people. He's from the nation of Syria. He's a commander of the army of this king of Syria. And so he is inflicting horrendous damage and suffering upon God's people of Israel. He is attacking them. And at one time during this battle, he takes a prisoner, a young girl, and he brings her with him so that his wife can have a maid to take care of her and to serve her. But the problem is, Naaman has this flesh disease, leprosy, but this little girl knows about a prophet who does wondrous signs, Elisha. And so she provides him with the news and tells him, if you want your skin clean, well, I know a guy. I know someone who can help you with that. And so Naaman tells the king, I want to go do this. And so the king writes a letter, sends it to the king of Israel. Naaman comes, and eventually he ends up at the prophet's house, but he doesn't meet the prophet. He just receives instruction from the prophet's servant. And the prophet's servant tells him, you need to go wash in the Jordan River. And Naaman is not, he's not disgusted at it, but he's like, why in the world would I do that? The Jordan River is gross. It's murky, it's muddy, it's not clean. We have such better waters where I come from. Why in the world would the prophet ask me to do this? And so he doesn't want to do it, but his companions who are traveling with him say, just trust. Just trust in this prophet's words. What else do you have to lose? If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But what if it does work? And so Naaman's like, he's convinced. He's like, okay, I'm going to go sit in this muddy water. And he plunges himself 7 times. And from it, this miracle happens. And his skin becomes like that of a child. And so immediately when we hear this story, the word seven, the number seven, should be ringing in our ears because it's familiar to us, the 7 days of creation. And so you can see there's this recreation happening with Naaman. He's being made new in this moment. A foreigner, someone who is not welcome to worship with the Israelites, the Jewish people, and yet God still helped him. God still helped him. Even though he wasn't part of the covenantal family, God still worked something great in Naaman. And this is a foreshadowing of baptism, of which we have all received, of which God has worked in us. But the greater miracle that takes place, yes, his skin was washed clean, he was made anew, but his heart was forever changed in that moment. God's love touched Naaman's heart and made him new because now he converted. He left this sign and wonder, this miraculous working from God, affect him. And now he offers sacrifice to the one true God, the one true God who created him. He had this direct encounter with God's love, and now he worships him, just as we do today. And in the gospel, you see a similar miracle about the 10 lepers, but this one's a little different because there's 10 of them and only one returned, and this man was a Samaritan. Again, a foreigner, someone not part of God's covenantal family, but he recognizes Jesus and the work that God did in him again. a disposition in which we should all have. Because yes, as amazing and wonderful as these miracles are, cleansing someone from a horrendous disease, it is nothing compared to what God has done for you. It is nothing in comparison to what God has done for you in baptism. Baptism changes everything for us. Absolutely everything for us. And in order to understand this, we have to understand that what we were destined for before baptism was eternal damnation, a complete separation from God. Humanity knew nothing except suffering, pain, and death before Jesus Christ came. Humanity endured the worst troubles, suffering, pain, death before Jesus Christ. And we who have been baptized have been redeemed because of what God did for us on the cross. Because of how God has redeemed us from the prison bars of death and changed our souls forever, marking us as His beloved children. God the Holy Spirit now dwelling in you. This is far infinitely greater than a miraculous sign of curing someone with leprosy. And that's exactly what a miracle is in the Gospels, in the Bible. Miracles are signs. They point to something greater. They reveal something infinitely better. Hey, let's look at this. If you see a sign, a neon sign in a store, and it says open, and you're attracted to it, and you go up to it, and you just adore the sign of open, but you never go inside, you're missing the point of the sign. The sign isn't just for you to look at it, but you're supposed to enter into it, into whatever store you come to, and see all the goodness that it has. But if you just get stuck at the sign, you miss the point. And so the point of these signs is God wants to redeem all of us every single day. He wants to heal us every single day. He wants us to act with the same faith as these men did, trusting that God can save them. We all have to respond with this act of faith, trusting that God has such greater plans than we can possibly imagine. God opened for us the gates of heaven. This is what He desires for you and for me. And we, all we have to do is say yes to His will, to His plans for our life every single day, to act with the same faith. And to make an act of faith, it doesn't take much. It's not a huge, huge act. It's not a huge life-changing thing, like, well, I guess I'm supposed to go and move somewhere. I'm supposed to go and change my work. I'm supposed to up and move my family like Abraham. No. An act of faith can be as simple as, Lord, I need You. Lord, I need You. Because in that simple statement, you're doing a couple things. One, you're acknowledging that you cannot live this life on your own. And B, you are acknowledging the presence of God and His existence. You're acknowledging an all-good and loving God in your life. And you recognize that in order to live out the words of Jesus Christ, to be His disciple, it cannot be possible unless the Holy Spirit is working through us. We cannot live out Jesus' words and follow the way of the cross and follow His commands unless God is working through us. And so through that simple prayer of, Lord, I need You, God will make Himself known to you. God will help you if you sincerely mean it. God's peace, His peaceful presence will reside in your heart when you acknowledge that you need a Savior every single day. It's not a one-time event, but we want God to be the center of our lives. And so through small acts of faith, trusting in God's plan more than our own, our hearts will every single day, because that's what we're